Well, all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, choir. Thank you to our wonderful musician, Sarah. Good to have you back today, and we're glad that you're better. And choir, thank you. You blessed our hearts again today. And I hope that you always appreciate and know that you do, our choir and WT and the musicians. And let's take them over and give them one more round of applause, would you? Just thank you for blessing us in such a wonderful, wonderful way. I want to take a moment and recognize some folks. I don't always do this, but we've got a very special family here with us today, and I want to take a moment and recognize some folks that you already know. Jesse and Pat, we love you guys and love your family. Tracy, where'd you go? Can't keep up with that boy. But we love y'all. I want to thank the Lord for you. And today, Jesse and Pat's daughter Brenda is with us, and her son Ethan. And is it the Knoxville area or the Chattanooga area where y'all live?
Chicago.
I don't know who I was thinking about, but you live a fur piece away. I know.
Knoxville, Illinois.
Wow. On the way. Wow. We're glad to have y'all with us today. And I know it's special for Mom and Dad and your brother to have you here. And we're honored to have you back at your home church. Welcome back home. I want to share this morning a message, if I may, that if it sounds familiar, this theme is one that I love to preach on. And I pray God will use it to be a blessing to you. In the early church, there was a theme that resonated through the congregations about the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus. I think sometimes we lose that sense of anticipation about the great event that we call the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to take a few moments this morning and talk about that theme under the subject, Heaven's Family Reunion or Heaven's Homecoming. And I really think that our prayer ought to be, even so, come, Lord Jesus. When we realize what that'll mean, it'll be the beginning of a new era in the Christian ministry and the reign of our Lord. And I want us to think together this morning about some passages that I believe the Lord will use to encourage us. You find them there, first of all, the book of Acts chapter 1 and verses 9 through 11. I'll give you an opportunity to find that. Acts chapter 1, standing on the Mount of Ascension, in verse 9, and when he, Jesus, had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mountain called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey, or about 3/4 of a mile. That wonderful truth that our Lord said when he said, "I'm coming again," resonated with the early church and was also their rallying cry for God's people to have their eyes fixed toward heaven for the soon coming of the glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, I love what Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13, Paul wrote, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep," talking about those that have already passed on and gone before us, "that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Now, he's not here to say don't grieve the passing of loved ones, but don't lose sight of your blessed hope and glory and the glorious appearing of our Lord and the fact that because Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave, death has lost its sting and death has lost its victory. And he said, "For if," in verse 14. And in the Greek, that's a first-class conditional clause. Now, I know that doesn't mean anything to most of us, but really that could read, "Since we believe, because we believe." For if we believe, since we believe, because we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this I say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede or go before them which are asleep. Now look at these following verses, verse 16 and following. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up and to get together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. In Matthew 24, Matthew tells us that Jesus' words, and Jesus said there'll be two at the meal. One will be taken, one will be left. And the truth is, the Gospels and the Epistles all point us to this one truth. The Christian's hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. And if we ever had a basis for getting happy in Jesus, this is it. The death could not hold its prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord, up from the grave he arose. The mighty triumph over his foes. Folks, listen. We're standing on the solid rock, Christ Jesus. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And he conquered death, hell, and the grave. And that ought to be our rallying cry. Come, Lord Jesus. Deliver us from this old sinful world. Come, Lord Jesus. Set up your kingdom upon this world, in this world, upon this planet. Lord, come, Lord, and make everything that's wrong right in this old sinful world. And so with that, I want us to think for a few moments this morning about the Christian's blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. And why we ought to celebrate it, why we ought to praise the Lord for the wonderful truth that is ours. Sometimes we lose sight of the glory of truths, the glorious truths of the Word of God. And let's just take a moment and look at them this morning. If we were to understand what the truths of these passages really are talking about, we'd recognize that the soon coming of our Lord, the blessed hope, the glorious appearing, it's a time of great and glorious anticipation. Looking forward to it. That's why the early church used to pray, even so, come Lord Jesus. Now folks, I love living in this old world, even with all the things that are wrong. I love the things God's blessed us with. But folks, I have not seen, ear hath not heard, it hath appeared unto man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. If you think this is good, folks, just wait till one of these days when our Lord comes to establish his kingdom upon this world. When our Lord comes and every eye shall see him and every tongue shall confess one of these days that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so this thing called the blessed hope, the soon coming of Jesus, is a time of great and glorious anticipation. Now, there are some things that we can look forward to, some things we don't look forward to. Do you remember your first trip to the dentist? I don't. Is anybody here who just lays awake at night and thinks to yourself, sweet Jesus, I wish I could go to have a root canal soon? There are just some things we just don't look forward to. And I tell you, folks, the best is yet to come. And one of these days, our Lord is going to split the eastern sky. There's a great day coming, a great day coming, a great day coming by and by. When the saint and the sinner shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? The coming of our Lord is a time of great and glorious anticipation. But not only is it a day, by the way, if God's word claims that you can write it down, it's going to happen. You may say, well, it hasn't come yet. Well, the time's not right. And the Lord, by the way, I don't really get involved in setting dates because even Jesus said that man doesn't know when that day is. It's on God's calendar and in God's timing. He'll send his son with the archangels to come and bring the saints of God with him that have gone before us. But the truth is, it's a time of great and glorious anticipation. So when your heart is heavy, and when you're overcome by the things of life, and when you're overwhelmed by circumstances, remember, God's still on the throne. God's got great things in store for the children of God. And one of those things is a soon coming, the return of our Lord in the clouds of glory. It's a time of great and glorious anticipation. Secondly, Heaven's family reunion, heaven's homecoming is a great and glorious time because it is a glorious time of celebration. We're going to celebrate the fact that one of these days we're going to see Jesus face to face. I love that painting that sometimes I see in our antique stores of what people think Jesus looked like. I don't know if they're close or not. But the truth is, one of these days we're going to see him face to face. We won't have to wonder anymore. We won't have to live by faith anymore, because our object of our faith will be that we'll be in his presence, and we'll be children of God, able to see him and see him as he is. It's time of great and glorious celebration. I've resisted the temptation to do this, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. It's football season. Now, I know that doesn't mean a lot to some of you, but we have a good time around our house most of the time. And I have looked forward to seeing Alabama come out and Dennis and play football since last year. And it's just fun most of the time. But folks, that pales in significance to the things we've got really to look forward to. That's not even on the register of the things that are most significant in our lives. One of these days we shall see him. By the way, when we see him, Jesus will no longer be carrying the spikes of the nails in his hand. The scars will be there, but not the spikes, not the nails. His blood will no longer be flowing down Calvary. He'll come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The great and glorious coming of our Lord, heaven's family reunion, heaven's homecoming, is a time of great anticipation. It's a time of glorious celebration. And the reason I say that and repeat it over and over is sometimes we lose sight that the best is yet to come. I often have said when the Lord comes, and the Bible says there's going to be a great shout, a shout of victory, a shout of come on home, child of God. And those of you that we've known each other for a while know that I've often said when the day comes, then the rapture takes place. That's the snatching away, if you will, of the church of the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says that in this world, those of us who are saved are going to be caught out of this world. We're going to cancel gravity for a little while. And we're going to go passing each other in the clouds of glory. And I'm going to look over at you skinny folks and say, see there? It didn't matter how many fat grams you had down here. It's a day of great and glorious anticipation, a time of glorious celebration, a time of eternal revelation. We shall see him as he is. The world doesn't honor or love our Lord. I confess to you that a few weeks ago, I was stunned when I was watching the opening ceremony of the Olympics, and you've seen it probably by now, and you've seen that there was a depiction of the Last Supper. And the Last Supper, all the disciples were drag queens. And it was one of the most humiliating things that I could ever remember having seen in a public display of arrogance and disregard for things that are holy and disregard for the things of God. But listen, folks, cheer up. One of these days, people aren't going to mock him anymore. One of these days, people aren't going to make fun of our sweet Jesus. And every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And I'm grateful for Christians who stood up and said, no more. This is unacceptable, and we're not going to tolerate it. And I think that those who tried to go that way have learned, hopefully, a lesson. Heaven's family reunion, heaven's homecoming, is a time of great and glorious anticipation, glorious celebration. By the way, one of these days, we're not going to have any reservations about getting happy in Jesus. In fact, I got a little twinge of it just then. I remember the first time I ever heard shouting. It was at a camp meeting, and it was down in Myrtle, Mississippi. And I was down there the first time I heard R.G. Lee preach, first time I heard Jerry Vines preach. And there's a preacher got up there and he preached on the day that Jesus died. I can still hear him preaching that wonderful message. And a little lady, she looked like she was in her 80s. She just had all she could stand. And she stood up in the front row, waving her hand saying, "Glory to God." About 2,000 or 3,000 people in that tent. "Glory to God." And you might be thinking, "Preacher, why are you talking about that? Aren't you afraid things will get out of hand in church?" No. Folks, I've been a Baptist long enough. Ain't nothing, no danger things get out of hand in most churches. They are well under control. I'd like to see church get out of control one time, just a little bit. You can't explain it by attendance promotion. You can't explain it by anything except the Lord just shows up. And one of these says, when the Lord comes in the clouds of glory, folks, Baptists ain't never shouted in their lives going to have a spell, a holy spell, and it's going to be a day of catching away, a time of eternal revelation. We shall see Him as He is. One of these days, by the way, I never got a chance to see the King, Elvis. I loved his music still. I'm a product of the 50s and the 60s. But folks, I may have never seen the King, but one of these days I'm going to see the King, and His name won't be Elvis. His name will be Sweet Jesus. And every eye shall see Him and every tongue shall confess. It's a time of great and glorious eternal revelation. But also the coming of our Lord is a time of grievous separation. Jesus shared, and Matthew recorded, two in the field, one taken, one will be left when our Lord returns. Two at the meal, one will be taken, the other will be left. Truth is, it'll be a time of separation. There'll be a time when the Lord comes to take His church, His bride, His family of believers out of this old world, but left behind will be those who had no time for Him, those who had no interest in Him, those who had no intention of giving their hearts and lives to Jesus. That's why Jesus said, "Therefore be ye ready." And in the parable that Jesus told of the house, if somebody were to break into your house and you know they were going to come and do it, you wouldn't stand idly by and allow that to happen without stopping it or trying to stop it. And he said, listen, the truth is our Lord is on His way. We don't know the day and no one knew the hour, but we ought to live like it could be today. We ought to live like the time is right here upon us. It's a time of grievous separation. And the saint and the sinner shall be parted right and left. The songwriter said, are you ready for that day to come? I can't think of many things more sad than to know that folks that we love and cherish with all of our hearts won't be going to glory with us because they never took time to say yes to Jesus. And if you're here today without Him, I want to tell you nothing in life is more important than what you've done with Christ and what you will do with Him even today. And that brings me to point number 5. It's a time for immediate preparation. Therefore, be ye ready. Therefore, be ye ready. Let me ask you a personal question. If Jesus were to return today in the clouds of glory and the shout of God would echo across the heavens, would you be ready to go home with Him? Have you turned your life over to the Lord Jesus? Have you been saved by the grace of God? You can't earn it. You can't work for it. You can't buy it. But it's a free gift by God's grace through faith. And if you've never been saved, you can be today. Today is the day, and now is accepted time. And I hope that you will be able to say at the close of this service today, even so, come, Lord Jesus, I'm ready for that great and glorious day. Heaven's family reunion. I close with this. Not too many Sundays ago, I used our family reunions as I was growing up as an illustration. Some of my most vivid memories are that Tabernacle campground in Hartsell, Alabama, where my family would gather together, and my family, my mother's side of the family, was a very large family, 8 children, and just a ton of grandchildren and cousins and aunts and uncles. Some of the most cherished memories I have of that time is having family reunions when we got together. We saw loved ones we hadn't seen in a long, long time. We don't have those family reunions anymore because most of the families passed away. But we hadn't had our last family reunion yet. One of these days, we were blessed to have a family that loved Jesus and loved the Lord. One of these days, folks, we're going to see our family, our loved ones in Christ again. And they won't have cancer. They won't have disease. They won't be stricken down. They won't be ill. They won't be in misery. They'll have new bodies like unto the Lord Jesus. One of these days, we're going to have the greatest family reunion we've ever had because Jesus will be at the center of it all. Therefore, be ye ready. Today is the day, and now is accepted time. Let's pray together.